That would be verse number 24. Enoch walked with God, and he was not found, for or because God took him. Enoch walked with God, and he was not found, because God took him. Who was Enoch? Was the man listed in the book of Genesis, the very first book of the Christian Bible, listed among the generations of Adam, who was, of course, the father of all the living. Enoch had sons and daughters and lived until he was 365 years of age, a mere young chap for those who lived during those early years. He also was the great-grandfather of the biblical patriarch Noah. More importantly, Noah is described in the Bible as a man who walked with God for 300 years, according to Genesis chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. The important word in this previous sentence is that Enoch walked with God, as opposed to walking apart from God. The statement not only implies relationship, but the type of relationship, an obedient relationship, a spiritually intimate relationship, spiritual intimacy between Enoch and his God. Enoch walked with his God. Now, there was another man, just another singular person, a prophet by the name of Elisha, who, according to the Bible, in the Old Testament book of 2 Kings, it says that suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up into heaven in a whirlwind. I mention that because, based upon all the biblical evidence that we have, these two men are the only two persons who did not die a natural death before being ushered literally into another world. All of us have faced the death of this temporal, frail human existence. Now, there's some things we should remember about our experience of death, and we've all experienced it. We've all lost family members and friends. We should remember that death is a curse upon humanity because of our collective rebellion and sin against the commands of a holy God, again, according to our Christian Bible. Adam, the first man created, was given one specific commandment by God: of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Genesis 2, 16, 17. Adam given but one commandment, and he couldn't keep it. As a result, death became a reality within God's creation. The very moment that we take our very first breath as a human being, the death process begins in every one of us. That scripture is a reality that we all face and experience. When the long-awaited son of Adam came, however, the offspring of Abraham and the son of royal King David, when he came, the one promised to crush the head of the tempting serpent, Satan, crush him under his heel, the one born of a young, unmarried virgin, representing every other human being ever born, who was perfectly, or who lived perfectly and who died blamelessly, not for anything that he had done. This promised one died for every one of us. And he died for everything that you and I have ever done or ever will do. And at his atoning death, the man Jesus, that is, at Jesus' atoning death, he deemed it more than a sufficient sacrifice by God his Father. And he redeemed everyone and anyone who trusts in his saving work and unites us in consequence to God our Father. 3 days after Jesus' crucifixion, when Jesus stepped out of Joseph's new and unused tomb, the act of resurrection sealed every believer's future destiny. Meaning Jesus overcame the power of death, and that act in itself guaranteed that all who followed Jesus in his death, that is by faith, believing in the sacrificial death of Jesus, would join him also in his resurrection and our resurrection to new life. The esteemed apostle Paul wrote in Romans 6:5, he says, since we have been united with him in his death through faith, that is, we will also be raised to life just as he was. Jesus broke the curse of sin and death in his resurrection. So in other words, in Christ, God the Father offers us new life by the power of the Holy Spirit. A couple of things you should be reminded before I take my seat. Reminded that the Bible says about the death of a person who, like Enoch and Paula, walked with their God. First of all, death is a temporal, physical separation from each other. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto men, and that is not a term that is defined or aimed only at the male gender. So it may be more accurately said, it's appointed unto every person once to die, and after that, the judgment. The second thing I would like to say about death is that physical death for the Christian is never a spiritual separation from our God. Physical death for the Christian is never a spiritual separation from our God. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says also in the book of Romans, chapter number 8. Who will separate us from the love of God? Will trouble or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? His response is this: for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor heavenly rulers, nor things that are present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us. The love of God is so powerful that it even spans the chasm between life and death. So what is the apostle saying? He's saying under the inspiration, or while under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that not even physical death can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Yes, we experience death, the death of these bodies, but when Christ returns, our souls, our spirits are reunited with Christ in our new, eternal, immortal, and glorified bodies. Just as we have been born the image of the man of dust, 1 Corinthians 15 says, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. And then the book of Corinthians continues when he says, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall all be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. Certainly we as believers grieve, but we do not grieve as those who have no hope. The hope I just spoke about.
of this mortal putting on immortality as we are raised to eternal life in Christ. Having no hope of seeing our loved ones again in the resurrection of the just is the hopeless future of those who do not believe in the resurrection of Christ. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. 1 Thessalonians 4:14. So it's no wonder that the Apostle Paul taunts death when he asks regarding the believer, "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" What Paul is experiencing right now in the presence of our Lord, she's joining in with Paul, saying those same words, as she's more alive now than she's ever been before. In fact, the writer contemplated our future glory when he wrote these words, that what no eye has seen nor ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him, 1 Corinthians 2:9. This is the living hope of the Christian. Job contemplated death also. He asked this question in Job 14:14. If a man dies, shall he live again? He asked that question rhetorically and answers it. And he says, all the days of my hard service, the King James Version says, appointed time, I will wait until my release comes. Release from this mortal captivity that we all experience with its pains and its sorrows and its grief. The Bible says a few things about this new home that Paul is living in. Think about the crystal clear waters where there is no pollution, no poisoning of our waters, where there's no lack of water for those who are thirsty or for farmers who are trying to grow crops and feed people. Think about this new heaven and new earth that's yet to come, and a place that's celestial, a place where there's no more bad news. Trees grow free from the poison of pollution and bear their fruit perpetually, the Bible says. Or even the leaves of these trees, according to the book of Revelation, have a useful purpose. And these leaves are said to be good for the healing of the nations. A place where there's no more fear. The children will no longer have to go to bed and put the covers over their heads, where there'll be perfect peace. Eternal and blissful peace. No concern for the robber, because the Lord is king in Zion. No need for hospitals or cancer wards or assisted living facilities, and certainly no need for memory care facilities, because the Lord, our Lord, is king in Zion. Counselors will all have been laid off. They can take their shingles down from the walls because there'll be no more trouble. Be no need for social workers. There'll be no more broken homes. No separation of children from parents. Not many days ago, a great conductor swooped down into Arlington, Texas, and made a stop where our dear sister Paula joined with the other passengers and rode that glory train directly into the presence of God. It was interesting because Kathy and I were standing there at her bedside. And I was glancing at her occasionally. Kathy was glancing at her occasionally to see her. Labor became more intense for each breath. while I was engaged in conversation with Kathy, or he with me, or she with me, I looked down again, and this time my eyes, I didn't glance over, but I looked at her a little more intently and noticed that she wasn't breathing. And I nudged to Kathy and said, "I think you should look. It looks as if she's not breathing." Kathy called in the caretakers and eventually the nurse, and they confirmed what we suspected. That conductor came without either Kathy or I even noticing and took her daughter, your mother, your sister, your aunt, cousin, friend, neighbor. She had purchased a ticket a long time ago, and she was gone. Paula walked with God, and she was not found because God took her. Sickness didn't take her. It's a consequence of our human existence. We'll all leave this world for one reason or the other, but ultimately for the Christian, God took her. Cancer didn't lay claim to her. God took her. Alzheimer's didn't take her. God took her. Neither old age or frailty of body, no medical mystery or clinical mistake took her. God took her. The creator of the universe took her. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords took Kathy. The architect of the atmosphere, the sustainer of the stratosphere, the designer of the troposphere, the manager of the mesosphere, the exosphere and the thermosphere took her. God took her. Paula's gone. But she is not lost, because God took her. If you want to see her again, go where Paula's God is. And you'll see Paula also. Because to be absent from the body, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, or 5 rather, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. She has a new address. Paula walked with God. She was not found, because God took her.